Glad to see everyone visiting that is here with us this morning. Want to invite you to be back at any opportunity you may have. So glad that you are here. You are indeed our honored guest. Our field is read for us, Ephesians chapter 5, 28 through 33, having to do with the husband loving his wife. The title of our sermon this morning is When a Man Loves a Woman. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't going to concentrate completely upon the husband. It's going to have somewhat to say of the children and their mother as well. But it's a great day in which we are able to come together to worship our God, to sing praises to His name, to be able to come together in fellowship, the breaking of bread, as we have already done this morning, commemorating our Lord's death. But today, as is nationally recognized, is also Mother's Day. And finally, I get to say that I'm going to be a father-to-be. Wonderful day to be able to proclaim that my wife is expecting. And we're getting to celebrate our first Mother's Day together today. And so this is a sermon I'm looking forward to preaching and being able to share these scriptures and this particular lesson and this study with you. And Ephesians chapter 5, as was read this morning concerning in verse 32, Paul is not necessarily speaking about marriage here. That was not his purpose in stating this as he did. His purpose was in verse 32 to show the relationship of Christ to his church. But then he says in verse 33, nevertheless, you do as I've already said. You love your wife. Let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Friends, when a man loves a woman, as the title of our sermon is this morning, number one, he had better love her. When a man loves a woman, he had better love her. Go back up to verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Husbands, love, agape your wives. That word is not eros. This is not talking about the physical love that exists between a man and a woman. This is not phileo. You don't love her as you would your brother or your sister in this particular context. This is not storge. This is not the familial type love. This is agape. Husbands, love your wife. What does that mean? What does that mean for you and I as husbands and wives, as husbands in particular this morning? What does that mean for us? Husbands, love your wives. Friends, that means she comes first, other than God, of course. She comes first before anyone else. You sacrifice. You place yourself on the line for her. You love her as Christ did the church. Isn't that what Paul writes there? Verse 33 again, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And then he takes it a step further as we go through this particular verse 25, as Christ also loved the church, and as this particular passage says here, Christ loved the church to the point what? What did he do? He gave himself for it. Husbands, do you love your wives that way? Do you love your wives that much that she comes before your job? Do you love your wives that much that she comes before your children? Do you love your wives that much that you would do anything for her? You'd place her above anything else in this world that this world has to offer. And friends, if you can't honestly answer yes to those questions, then you don't love your wife as Christ loved the church. When a man loves a woman, he had better love her. Agape. Having a cause bigger than oneself. Did Christ have a cause bigger than himself in coming to this earth and preaching and teaching the gospel? Yes, he did. Absolutely, he did. He died for her to redeem her, to reconcile her to God. When a man loves a woman, he had better love her. Ephesians 5, 25 and then 28 through 33. Number two. When a man loves a woman, he needs to live with her, doesn't he? Now, I'm not talking about dwelling under the same roof. That's not the meaning that I'm trying to get across here. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. You know, concerning this particular point, my wife makes this one all the time. I'll go into the kitchen and I'm trying to make a sandwich and I'm looking for something and I have to ask her. We've been in that house now for 2 years. And I have to ask her all the time, where is this? Where is that? And she asks me all the time, when are you going to move in with me? Well, that's not even what I'm talking about here when we're talking about living with her. Notice with me 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge. Let's stop right there for a minute. Drive a peg there and we'll come back to the rest of the verse in a moment. Husbands. So number one, who's it speaking to? It's speaking to me. It's speaking to those of you men in here that are married. Husbands, dwell with your wives. Live with them. You know, oftentimes we may come in from a long, hard day at work. We want to go prop our feet up. We don't want to be bothered. Friends, we'd better get over that. Because she may have had just as hard a day. We need to be able to sit down and listen. Talk with them about things. Dwell with them, Peter says, according to knowledge. Get to know your spouse. Get to know your wife. Many times, older couples that have been married for 15, 20, 25, 30 years, and they finally get all of the kids out of the house, they'll sit down one evening and they'll look at each other and say, who in the world are you? Why is that? That's a funny thought, but friends, it happens all too often. Why is that? Because they didn't follow 1 Peter 3, verse 7. They didn't dwell with one another according to knowledge. They didn't take the time to spend with one another. Sometimes mom and dad need to get away without the kids. To spend time just with one another. Sometimes the kids may just need to be sent outside to play. And let's sit down and have a real conversation instead of just talking with the kids. I've heard mothers say lately when husbands go to work all day and they're left at home with their children, sometimes they just crave a normal adult conversation. Husbands, that's what you're there for. Sit down and talk with them. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Friends, this word knowledge here signifies an intelligence, an understanding. Now, friend, men, we may be thinking that's impossible. I know. Women can be hard to understand, but friends, did you know they think the same thing about us? We need to put in the effort to sit down and know our wives. If that means we have to sit down and play 20 questions every 2 weeks, that's fine. Know them. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Get to know them. All right, let's look at the rest of the verse. Giving honor to her as the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, so your prayers are not hindered or be not hindered. Chris, think about that for a moment. First of all, the thought of giving honor. That phrase simply means that we recognize the value. Recognize the value. Way back in the Garden of Eden, when God looked out and He looked out upon His creation and He looked at Adam, He had already caused all the animals to pass before Him. Adam had named all of it. And what's the one thing that Adam did not see? There's no one here that looks like me. There's no one here for me. You know, God had a purpose in that. Adam needed to realize that he needed someone. And so God looked out over the creation and He said, it is not good that man shall be alone. Caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Took out a rib and fashioned woman. Adam, as he did with the animals before his wife was created, he named her as well. Woman, for she was taken out of man. In particular, Eve, for she would be the mother of all living. Friends, I can't imagine the joy that must have swept over Adam when God brought Eve to him. When God brought Eve to him, and he made that statement then that she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man, and then made the statement concerning men and women leaving their parents and cleaving unto their spouse. Man shall cleave unto his wife. Friends, think about that for a moment. Giving honor, recognizing the value. Did Adam recognize the value in Eve? Absolutely, he did. We see it in his statement in Genesis chapter 2. As husbands, we need to recognize the value of our wives. Our wives, as the rest of the verse there describes, giving honor to her as the weaker vessel. You know, oftentimes a situation may arise and you know, we men may be able to shrug it off. But our wives, as women being emotional beings, they're not able to do that quite as easily, are they? They're emotional beings. The weaker vessel here, talking to some degree about the emotions, but to some degree about the physically. Most of the time, women are not as physically strong as men. But recognize the value. Oftentimes, when things are considered valuable, a lot of times, aren't they fragile? Need to be handled with care? Friends, wives, our women in our lives must be handled delicately. Can't run roughshod over them. That's not what Ephesians 5 tells us there concerning wives reverencing their husbands, obeying their own husbands and such like. It's not giving you utter and total dominion over your wife in that sense, so that you can be a dictator in her life. That's not what that's talking about. And so we're looking at 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, friends. We are to give honor to her as to the weaker vessel, as being heirs, notice this, together of the grace of life. And husbands, don't miss that last part either. Husbands, if you're not treating your wife as you ought to, don't expect your prayers to go above the ceiling. If you are not treating your wives with the respect, with the honor, and you're not dwelling with them in knowledge, don't expect your prayers to be heard. Peter says that. Treat her in this way that your prayers be not hindered. Think about that for a moment. Next time you decide to raise your voice at your wife. The next time you don't treat her with the respect that she deserves. Think about that. Ask yourself the question, are my prayers going to be heard tonight? Maybe we'll think twice. Maybe we'll make a change in our lives as to how we treat our wives and the honor that we give them. Notice with me Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 is a well-known proverb simply for the fact that it is the basis for what is the teaching of the virtuous woman. Proverbs 31 and verses 10 and 11 in particular. I want you to notice what Solomon, the Proverbs writer, says here. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. Friends, you think about that for a moment. We think about our wives. These virtuous women to whom we are married. And Solomon, a man that should know, says her price is far above rubies. And we as husbands should be able to trust in our wives so that we have no worries. In Malachi 2, 13 through 17. Let's turn there for a moment. Malachi chapter 2, 13 through 17. We see in this particular passage, we'll notice it as we read it together, that when men refuse to live with their wives according to knowledge, to dwell with them according to knowledge, when men refuse to honor them as they deserve, Well, men refuse to treat them as virtuous and as their price is far above rubies. And they put them away. Friends, divorce is especially devastating for women. Notice with me beginning in verse 13 of Malachi chapter 2. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth it with goodwill at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore? Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously. Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant. And did not he make one? Yet had he the residue of the Spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed? Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, that he hateth putting away. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, that ye deal not treacherously. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Friends, ought we not to dwell with our wives according to knowledge and honor them as we should, recognizing their worth, recognizing their value? Friends, I can honestly tell you, and I'm sure that each one of you, or I would hope so anyway, I would not be the man that I am today or where I am today without my wife. She has helped to shape me and to make me the man that I am. And I'm ever so thankful for that, having a godly wife to support me in all that I do. When we first thought about moving to Texas, when I first brought up the idea of even coming out here, she said, no way. Not happening. Thankfully, I was able to talk her into coming out here, meeting all of you. And when we began to talk about moving out here, although she may not have wanted to move across the country, she had the attitude that she was going to support me wherever I went and she would go with me. Friends, live with her. Husbands, dwell with her according to knowledge. Be sure, friends, that you know your wife. Number three, when a man truly loves a woman, friends, he had better lead her. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I want you to notice with me 22 through 24. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, friends, let's make this clear. The husband is not a dictator, but a loving leader whose leadership will be accepted by the wife when she is treated properly. Again, refer to 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. The reason many women in this world, in our society today, have difficulty accepting their role in the home, friends, it's because that far too many husbands, far too many men fall dreadfully short in their role and being the leaders that they ought to be at home. So friends, if we are to be godly husbands, if we are to be godly men, we had better be the leaders in the home that we need to be, that we ought to be, that God calls upon us to be. You lead her. When a husband shows true leadership, then a godly wife is not going to have any problem whatsoever in following her husband and submitting herself to him. Husbands, don't think for a minute that our wives have it easy. God gave them the more difficult role in submitting themselves to the will of another. But husbands, don't you abuse that. Don't you try to be a dictator in your home. That's not what God calls for you to be. And as a godly man, as a godly husband, as he shows true leadership, a godly wife will gladly follow. You think about Abraham. He made several grievous mistakes directly involving his wife, directly involving Sarah. Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 20. And yet Sarah followed him and showed him due reverence. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 6. That was a godly wife. And though Abraham made mistakes, by and large, he was a godly husband. And she had no problem following him. You think about everything that both he and she left behind, her especially. Leaving Ur of the Chaldees. Reports say that Ur of the Chaldees, that particular area at that particular time, was the most advanced civilization of that time during Abraham's lifetime. And they left that to dwell in tents. Going at that point, knowing not where God wanted them to go, they just went because God said go. And Sarah picked up and followed her husband. Men, husbands, you be the godly leader that God called upon you to be. Lead your home. Whether you like it or not, friends, husbands, you set the spiritual tone for your home. Don't leave that up to your wife. She's not called upon to take on that responsibility. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Husbands, be the husbands you need to be. Lead her. When a man loves a woman, he will love her. He will live with her and he will lead her. Now, children, these last three points are for you. Learn from her. Children, learn from your mother. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to be there for a couple of moments. Proverbs. We're going to start in chapter 31, then we'll move back and forth throughout the book. Proverbs 31 and verse 1. I want you to notice this here. This is probably a verse that as we read Proverbs 31 that we often just skip right over because it doesn't really tell us about the virtuous woman. But notice what verse 1 says. Don't miss it. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother, what? Taught him. The prophecy that his mother taught him. Children, learn from your mother. Learn from her. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not, notice this, the law of thy mother. Why? For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Now think about that for a moment. You forsake the law of your mother, what happens? Chain about your neck. Cause you to stumble. Cause you to fall. Children, learn from your mother. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Obey her, learn from her, bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Friends, what we learn from our mothers. And we can testify to this, every one of us most likely. Lessons that we learned in our early childhood from our mothers stick with us even to today. If we allowed them to take. Learn from your mother. She has valuable lessons to teach us. Proverbs 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son notice this, is the heaviness of his mother. Proverbs 15 and verse 20. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son, a foolish man rather, despiseth his mother. Friends, what are we seeing here? What is the common string? What is the common theme in what we've noticed thus far? But do not learn from our mothers. It doesn't seem that we become productive members of society. We bring shame upon her. Let's look at one more. Let's look at Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Children, if you love your mother, learn from her. Allow those lessons to bloom in your lives. Number two, for our children, look up to her. Look up to her. Let's go back to Ephesians. Let's look at chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Friends, parents, of course, children, parents, of course, there would include your mother. In verse 3 in particular, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Friends, you realize that's the first commandment with promise? Honor thy father and mother. Look up to her. We see it again in Exodus 20 and verse 12, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, Deuteronomy 27 and verse 16. Children, think about it like this. Your mother went to death's door to give you life. As our mother's children, we should not dare to disrespect her or bring shame to her. We saw that in the Proverbs. In Proverbs 19, 26 and 27, we read, he who mistreats his father and drives away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. The Proverbs writer goes on and says, cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Look up to your parents, your mother in particular. Number three or number six, however you number it. Look after her. We all get old. We all come to a time in our lives where we're not able to take care of ourselves as well as we may want or hope to. And sadly, as we look in our particular society today, many times what we see happening is children throwing their parents into a nursing home and forgetting they're ever there. Friends, as children of God, as children of our parents, we should not do that. Now, if a nursing home is able to take better care of them than we can, so be it. But don't throw them in there and forget about them. Look after them. Be sure that they're taken care of, that their needs are being met. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and notice with me verse 8. First Timothy 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. But friends, as children ourselves, we need to be sure that when our parents reach that point, that they're no longer able to care for themselves, that we see that they're taken care of. Whether that's under my own roof, whether that's putting them in a facility where they can receive better care than I have to offer. But friends, don't put, as I said a moment ago, don't put them there and forget them. They still need you. They want to be around you. The story has been told, and I'm not sure if I'll recount it exactly right, but you'll still get the point. The story was told of an older widow lady. She could no longer really take care of herself as she would like. She still had all her mental faculties. She just not had the physical capabilities that she used to. So her son welcomed her initially into his home with his wife and young son, and began to take care of her. And every night, the family, as was their own tradition, would sit around the supper table and have a meal together. Well, it wasn't long that the mother, the grandmother, as it were, her physical abilities continued to deteriorate, and she couldn't hardly hang on to a glass. She spilled food everywhere as she tried to eat. And it got to be a pain. The wife began to complain because she was breaking all of her good dishes and everything like that. And so what the husband did is he went out and found an antique wood bowl, an antique wood plate, and an antique wood cup. And because she made such a mess at the dinner table, they put a little card table up over here, and that's where she ate supper while the rest of the family ate over here. One day the husband comes home from work, and his little, about 8 or 9 years old, little son, using a little pocket knife that he had gotten for Christmas, was carving on a rather large piece of wood. And he sat down next to his son. I said, "Son, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm making you and mommy plates and bowls and cups for when you get old." That night at the dinner table, his grandmother had gone and sat at her usual place away from the family. As you can imagine, the son, with tears rolling down his cheeks, went and put his arm around his mother's shoulder and guided her back to the table where she began to eat the rest of her days with her family. The young boy taught that father a lesson. In truly taking care of his mother, realized that he had not taken care of her as he ought to. But friends, if we happen to be in that position today, may we beg God's forgiveness, number one. And may we begin to treat them with the respect and the honor that they deserve. So many mothers today are killing their children via abortion. You be thankful for the mother that you've got. Take care of her as you ought to. See that her needs are being met. Let me leave you with one more scripture and the lesson will be yours. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. Notice with me verse 22. "Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old." Children, you learn from her. Look up to her and look after her. Let's close our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Mothers, happy Mother's Day. Children, appreciate them as you ought. Husbands, love her. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're here having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that wonderful gospel, friends, that we read right here in our Bibles as we've read from this morning. It is that gospel that saves us. Are you here this morning knowing what you must do to be saved and willing to do that this morning? Would you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Friend, are you here? And at some point in the past, you've done that. Where is your soul today? Have you given it back to the world? Or are you still entrusting it to God's hands? If it's the case that you've given your soul back to the world, friends, return it unto God so that He can keep it until that day. Friend, are you here having a need? Would you come now while we stand and while we sing?